south of the border, down Mexico way. That's where I fell in love when the stars above came out to play. And now as I wander.
Hello there, all you expat wannabes. I'm Johnny Mueller, and you're listening to The Expat Files, Living in Latin America, the show that tells you just what it's like to live, work, play, and or retire down here in Latin America. It's a mix of the good, the bad, the ugly, and the great, and it's all right here, so let's get started. All right, so this is Halloween week here in Latin America, too. You know, when there's any kind of holiday at all, it's not a holiday, it's a Halloween here in Latin America. Just like every birthday turns out to be a birth week, sometimes 2 weeks. New Year's Day turns into New Year's week and Christmas Day into Christmas week, but that's usually not enough, so it becomes Christmas month. Anyway, the signs of Halloween are everywhere, even though, I have to say, 20 years ago, most Latins didn't even know what Halloween was. Well, they still don't actually know what it is, but they celebrate it anyway because, well, it's a gringo holiday and they do pick up on those things, you know, in a big way. Yep, and they're crazy about Black Friday too, though they really don't know what that is either, except to say Sears probably started it here in Latin America. Sears being a first world transnational transplant, a couple of years back they started putting up those Black Friday signs and ads, and now everybody seems to be doing it. Anyway, this past week people have been Halloween crazy. They even have pumpkin pie in the bakeries. Yet 5 years ago, except on the Gringo Tourist Trail, not a pumpkin pie to be found. So, is it pumpkin or pumpkin pie? By the way, since orange jack-o'-lantern pumpkins are not grown here in Latin America, they actually import them down here and people buy them and put them on their porches too. Though, except for gringos taking a stab at it, you almost never see a carved pumpkin down here. And you'd think that Latinos would have at it with a gusto since they're so good with machetes. Even Latin ladies can wield those things with a lot of skill. But they don't. And I ask them why they don't, and they say, well, they need someone to show them how. They don't know where to start. Yeah, right, like there aren't 5,000 YouTube videos showing you exactly how. But as a rule, Latins just aren't that curious. By the way, they do have big old pumpkins down here. They're called ayotes, but they're not orange. They're kind of a murky gray and not so colorful or Halloween-like. They're kind of dull and lifeless, so forget about it if you're thinking about carving up one of those. So if you're down here around Halloween time, you'll see that gringo wannabeism is alive and well. Is that even a word? Well, we'll pretend it is, okay? And naturally, the seeds of the Halloween event started in gringoized areas like Costa Rica, Mexico, the usual suspects. And now, believe it or not, even towns and cities way off the gringo tourist trail, you see the pumpkins and the skeletons and the orange and black decorations everywhere. And another thing that never really existed 10 or 20 years ago, and that would be costume shops. Now, of course, down here in Latin America, every little neighborhood has a piñata shop or two. After all, a party wouldn't be a party here in Latin America without a piñata. And oddly enough, even in small towns, the piñata shops are quite trendy. They pay attention to what's popular and happening in first world media and the cinema, and somehow produce piñatas to that effect almost immediately. Oddly enough, right before Halloween, some of the bigger piñata shops turn into costume shops, too. But unlike most costume shops up in the States, except ones that are located close to theater districts, down here in Latin America, you'll notice there's something strange happening when you walk in one of these places. There'll be ladies at sewing machines making up costumes from scratch. That means if you walk into one of these places and rent a Wonder Woman, Pirate, or I Am Groot costume, it's almost never going to come in prepackaged form with a Made in China stamp on it. It'll be a handmade piece of work. Sometimes a very nicely done piece of work, and sometimes a piece of work that's pretty damn tacky. Hey, you know, some people have the touch, some don't. By the way, here in Latin America, Wonder Woman is called Mujer Maravillosa. That actually translates to Marvelous Woman, which does not have a ring to it. That said, you do have to hand it to those little corner costume fabrication shops. And why not? Latin America is full of fantastic textile workers and seamstresses. In fact, I'd say a good percentage of the stuff you have in your own closet was made in Latin America. Yep, they certainly have the skills, and there's a million and one old sewing machines laying around. They're everywhere. I'll bet only one in 50 households up in the States has one. And I'll bet the only one who knows how to use it is Grandma. Now, down here, it seems like every family's got one tucked away. Hey, and these are the good ones, too. You know, the commercial brands that weigh 100 pounds and last 100 years? Yep, and there are tons of those Singer treadle sewing machines, too. Talk about indestructible. Yep, and no power necessary except foot power. Sewing machine, heavy metal. Nope, not an ounce of plastic on those things. Kind of like Detroit heavy metal in the old days. So anyway, most of these pinata shops, right around Halloween, convert into costume shops. By the way, to buy a custom Wonder Woman, Pope, or I Am Groot costume will cost you around $40. And to rent one for a week, about half that. Which means, of course, your average Latin will have to save up for a very long time to be able to afford either one of those options. Which is why when you pull up to one of those shops, you'll see a lot of double-parked SUVs. That would be the upscale Latin Brigade along with their pot-bellied bodyguards. Oh, and as for the poor and even the average Latin kid, there is no trick-or-treating at night. They'll do that in school, but the neighborhoods they live in are just a little dangerous to do that kind of stuff. However, those upscale kids in gated, guarded communities will trick-or-treat in their little compounds. Now, I mentioned that at those shops, most costumes are handmade, right? Well, those cheap and badly made Chinese costumes have made it down here, too. Why wouldn't they? They've got Walmart, Costco, and dollar stores here, too, so 'tis the season and there's plenty of that junk around. Now, since Latins are so big on parties with piñatas and all that, that means there's always been a big demand for party supplies. So if you're going to have a specialty or theme party yourself, there's no need to order that stuff from Amazon. They got plenty of party supply stores here. And, you know, since Latins are particularly festive, they have all kinds of parties on weekends and such. That means the table, chair, and tent rental businesses are booming. Now, being that Latinos are some of the partyingest people ever, that means unless you're antisocial or you just exclusively hang around with a bunch of boring stick-in-the-mud gringos, you're going to get invited to a lot of local parties. I'm talking about family parties where women almost never drink and guys might drink, but they don't get drunk and sloppy like they do at discos, soccer games, and where the booze is free. So you will get invited to some neighborhood events, birthday parties, anniversaries, quinceañero parties, even the occasional homecoming party. And when that's occurring with a middle or lower middle class family, that's usually a thinly disguised homecoming slash deportation party. Though it's implied, it's never really mentioned. Hey, Johnny, you're invited to Juanito's homecoming party. He's back after 3 long years living the sueño americano, the American dream. Lots and lots of ad hoc weekend parties like that, especially since Trump's been president. Though with high-end Latin families, you'll never see a party like that. They have enough resources and social standing that they can visit Miami, Disney World, Nueva York, and Tucson on a real legal visa. All right, moving on. You know, last week when I announced that Bitcoin Dan will be speaking at my upcoming January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar, I got a slew of emails saying, Johnny, I know you've been talking about Bitcoin for 3 or 4 years now. The reality is there's so much new stuff out there since the crypto thing began. It's confusing. You've got things like the blockchain itself, Bitcoin credit cards, ICOs, crypto exchanges, treasures, paper wallets, soft and hard forks too. As one guy said in his email, they might as well be knives and spoons for all I know. Yet another guy, actually a lady, said in her email, Johnny, you know, I really want to invest in the cryptocurrencies. But as soon as I think I've got kind of a handle on what's going on, something else comes up. A country bans it, another embraces it. I'm just glad that you're having a real Bitcoin expert at your seminar, one I could sit down and talk to face-to-face and fire my questions at. Problem is, all of us are getting our crypto information off of blogs and YouTubes. That means the information's flowing one way only. We never get to ask our questions. Yes, it's me again, Johnny. Yes, I get emails like that all the time. And Bitcoin Dan, our resident crypto guru, will be giving a segment at the seminar. Meanwhile, everyone wants to know a little bit more about Bitcoin Dan. Well, he came down from Canada driving a Winnebago-style trailer, came to my second seminar and never left. By the way, for a few years, he worked at Microsoft. They'd fly him in from Montreal to Seattle every week. Then he quit to start his own software business, and now he has over 1.5 million customers. By the way, with 1.5 million clients, you know how many employees he has in his company? 2, him and another guy. Is that not amazing? Anyway, he left Canada came down to my seminar and moved here permanently because he's a libertarian and can't stand living under the thumb of Big Brother. Anyway, after the seminar, he didn't have a rental or a house yet, and he asked me if he could temporarily park his trailer in front of my place, far away from everything, deep in the coffee fields. So, nice guy that I am, sometimes, I said, okay, Dan, because I already realized he was a very nice, honest, brilliant, and extremely interesting guy. But you know the old saying about visitors and fish. So I said, Dan, how long do you expect to be in front of my house? He said, well, I'll be looking for a rental, so probably 3 weeks to a month. And of course, best laid plans and all that, it turned into 3, 4, or maybe it was 5 months, can't remember. By the way, let me repeat, Dan was the first person in the world to teach a Bitcoin/cryptocurrency course in an accredited university. He still does, and to standing room only. Anyway, 4 or 5 years ago, for a few months, I saw Dan every single day. He was living right outside my front door. And every once in a while, I'd notice at 2, 3, even 4 in the morning, a little light on in his trailer. What was Dan doing? I asked him and he told me he was putting in buy orders for this stuff called Bitcoin. You gotta remember, back then, the Bitcoin community was very, very small, almost exclusively nerds and gamers. And in the normal world, there was virtually zero publicity about it. So, every night he was sitting out there buying little blocks of Bitcoin. I believe he accumulated a few thousand of them at a price between, I think it was 6 to 50 bucks each. And a Bitcoin today is worth what? Well over 6,000 bucks. So, you do the math. Now, if we're lucky, Dan might also tell us about a Bitcoin scam he got involved in. He lost quite a few Bitcoins, a small fortune that way, when he got involved with, and you might find this hard to believe, a Canadian con artist. So maybe we'll try to get Dan to tell us that story if it's not too painful for him. Because, you know, being that Dan is way too smart to ever have a hacker get in and steal any of his Bitcoins, that would never happen. But to be gouged by a slick-talking con man, that's another thing. That can happen to anyone. Ever happen to you? Speaking of con men, hey, did you see in the news just a week or so ago that almost happened to Richard Branson? You know, the guy that owns Virgin Airways? The guy who has his own island that got knocked out completely during the hurricane that hit Puerto Rico? You probably saw him. He's been all over the news lately. In the end, luckily enough, he didn't get sucked into the scam, but one of his friends did, and he got hit for a couple million. Well, that proves the point, right? The fact is, anyone who's ever been conned will tell you they never met a con man they didn't like, at least at first. That's part of the process. You know, the word con is short for confidence. They get you in their confidence. But I digress. Anyway, I can think of no better way to get yourself completely boned up on cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin than to come to my January 2018 Expat Insider Seminar. And man, if you really want to meet some like-minded people, a seminar is the place to be. You know, the sad thing is the majority of people who come down to the seminar tell me they've got really no one up where they live to talk to about such serious things as Big Brother, the bankrupt state, funny money, loss of privacy, Big Pharma, the upcoming reset in whatever form it's going to take, and all those teetering tipping points we all know so well. The problem is astute, intelligent people up in the States really can't talk about that stuff. Well, you know what happens when you do. Meanwhile, our seminar attendees are almost all on the same page. They get it. That's why they come down. And you can too. And you still can take advantage of those early bird discounts. Just go to thenewexpat.com and click on the seminar link. And while you're there, don't forget to check out those famous John Galt pre and post seminar trips. And you'll also see how to kill two birds with one stone. That is, if you're thinking about coming down to the seminar and applying for your temporary or permanent Guatemala residency at the same time. I know some of you just can't make it down. You can't swing it. Well, the next best thing to get you going on your own plan B is to take my Expat Essentials course. Yep, it's my very own 9-hour video course. Check it out at expatplanb.com. And how about something valuable and free? Those two don't often go together, you know. Do go to the newexpat.com website and download my free phone consultation questionnaire form. All right, I'm sure you're wondering now, why am I talking about all this Bitcoin stuff? What's it got to do with Latin America? Well, a lot. Mostly because it's a way to transfer your money and assets around pretty much anonymously. And wouldn't you know it, gringos and expats are really into it. In fact, most Latin countries have a nice, solid gringo/expat Bitcoin community going. Yep, we got it down all right. Probably better than anyone you know in your neighborhood. Isn't that funny? You have to go to a Latin country to really learn about Bitcoin. That's because down here, governments have no way of dealing with it. They're so disorganized, they can't even keep the municipal water supply on 24/7. Not to mention, throughout Latin America, the cops have to buy their own bullets, their radios don't work, and they don't even have gas for their cars. Oh, and did you know it's quite common for Latin countries to run out of driver's licenses and passports? Yep, I've read notices in Latin papers saying, don't come in and get your passport for 2 months because we're out. That's why they call it the third world, man. So, you think these Latin lard-ass government pukes will try to regulate Bitcoin and crypto? What a joke. Sure, they can try to make it illegal. They've tried to do that in Venezuela, but it only made the Bitcoin community stronger, bigger, and more popular. And the 19 other Latin countries, they're not even thinking about it. It's nowhere on their radar. Get this, talking to Bitcoin Dan just this morning. Turns out, he was at a party recently, talking to a 40-something executive Latina accountant. She told him she'd been working for years in a Latin country central bank. You know, that's like the U.S. Treasury Department. They control a country's funny money, debt, reserves, and bond issues and such. And she told him that just last week, they had a big, day-long, all-important conference. The topic, get this, Bitcoin and the blockchain. Turns out, she said, and she would know, every Latin American central bank is scrambling and having similar conferences, so they have some idea, at least, what Bitcoin and blockchain technology are all about, what kind of threats they might pose to traditional banking and government financial systems. So there's a kind of a fear and panic amongst central bankers that we only hear about in snippets in news articles on the web. Meanwhile, behind closed doors, banks and government monopolies are scared poopless. So, in the midst of never-ending bad news, there is light at the end of the tunnel. Bitcoin, cryptos, and the blockchain are slowly but surely driving a stake into the heart of a totally corrupt, funny money world. But you knew that already, right? Now, if you're wondering, the reason why today I'm spending so much time on Bitcoin is because I'm getting a deluge of emails from people saying, hey, look, Johnny, I think I can get my ass out of the country okay, but how do I get my assets out without actually having to do wire transfers and opening bank accounts and such? I hear it's impossible or virtually impossible for a gringo or an expat to open a bank account unless he's got temporary or permanent residency, which could take a while, or he's got a lawyer to front for him. Well, that's true, you know. If you come down here knowing a little bit of Spanish, thinking you're going to do that all yourself, well, you're in for a long haul. And to get a bank account doing things your own way, that could take months. Yep, there was a time if you did know your Spanish pretty well, you could do all that yourself, but you just can't do it anymore. Your lawyer will have to hold your hand through a lot of that stuff. But as far as moving money around, well, let's talk Bitcoin just for a second again. By the way, I get emails all the time from people saying, Johnny, I could kick myself for not getting into Bitcoin. It's way too expensive now, they say. It's in a bubble. They've lost out. And then I tell them, I wouldn't be kicking myself just yet. According to a lot of good information, we got a long run ahead of us. Which brings me to this next email from a previous Expat Insider Seminar attendee. Hey, Johnny, I'm just now in a position to do something with cryptocurrencies. Do your sources feel that Bitcoin could very possibly go to 8, 9, or 10,000? Or do they expect a significant drop temporarily, which of course would be a good time for me to buy? In the meantime, I heard a lot of positive reports on Dash and Litecoin. Would you recommend investing in either of those? Then he says, the heavy taxes on cashing Bitcoin for dollars seems like it'll most likely continue, even when our US dollar dies and a new system is somewhat put into place. It appears that simply holding and buying with Bitcoin or other currencies will continue to be the best protocol. What are your thoughts on this? By the way, he says, I'm planning the big move next year. And I'll be joining the ranks of repeat offenders at your upcoming seminar. Again, thanks a lot for the great shows you produce and look forward to seeing you in the new year. Signed, the Altiplano Drifter. All right, thanks for that, Drifter. Glad to have you back as a seminar repeat offender. You know, we do get repeat offenders all the time. And I also get emails from people saying, Johnny, why do people keep repeating your seminar? Well, you know, that's the kind of question that could only be answered by coming down to the seminar and finding out for yourself. All right, getting back to the questions and comments from our Altiplano Drifter. Obviously, he's going to get those questions and a lot more answered by Bitcoin Dan at the seminar. However, I will pass on some info from Bitcoin Dan on some of the other very popular cryptocurrencies. Suffice it to say, he's very positive on Bitcoin, at least for the next couple of years. And if you're down here for this seminar, he'll explain what he thinks is going to happen after that. He's also, and this is going to surprise the hell out of you, very negative on Ethereum. Whoa! If you search the net, you'll see most everyone loves it. And he also comes down pretty hard on a lot of the other cryptos. He has some very good reasons too, and he'll explain that at the seminar. Now, he did say Ethereum and some of the other ones that he knows are going to be a bust will nevertheless be pulled into the stratosphere while riding this crypto wave or mania, whatever you want to call it. So, he says, in the short and medium term, all boats will rise with the tide, even the ones that really suck. But we'll see in the medium and long term, most of the emperors have no clothes, which is true for the vast majority of ICOs, too. Now, a lot of people say it's a bubble, and they compare it to the dot-com bubble of the turn of the century. Now, if you remember, in the short and medium term, all boats rose with the tide in that situation, too. Then came the day of reckoning, and only about 1 out of 20 of those companies survived. So, yes, for a while anyway, you should be able to ride the blockchain wave no matter what kind of crypto you're in. But there will be a day of reckoning, and only a few will survive. And when's all that going to play out? Well, Bitcoin Dan will fill us in on that. By the way, just one more thing about Ethereum. It's getting all kinds of press lately because so many ICOs are being opened up with the stuff. Anyway, Bitcoin Dan showed me and some others in no uncertain terms why Ethereum can do nothing but go belly up. So why are people not picking up on the real truth of Ethereum? How come no one out there in YouTube and blog land are talking about fatal flaws? And you know, it's not that Bitcoin doesn't have a few fatal flaws too, according to Dan. It does. But I've been told it won't play itself out till many more coins are mined. Again, I'm not the expert. I only have bits and pieces of the puzzle, and we'll have to let Dan explain all that at the seminar. Oh, and did you notice in his email, the Altiplano Drifter mentioned the U.S. taxing Bitcoin profits. Now, there's an uncertain and convoluted subject if I've ever heard one. Here we've got all these new monetary units out there in the ether. They can be transferred anywhere, cross borders in a millisecond. Banks hate the thought of them because they're poised to put them out of business, and governments have a love-hate relationship. They hate them because they make the funny money currency less and less viable, but they see if they can figure out a way to tax them, well, there's a huge windfall there, right? Which is why I'm putting together a little report right now that talks all about taxes and cryptocurrency, which will be ready for my seminar group by the time it gets underway. You know, as far as taxing cryptos, there are a lot of questions. For example, what happens when your crypto rises? It's a capital gain, right? But if you don't actually turn it into a regular funny money currency, it's deferred. Or not. Even crazier, what about when cryptocurrencies fork? Then you've got two currencies, but they're different. For example, when Bitcoin forked into Bitcoin Cash, for every Bitcoin you had before the fork, you got one of Bitcoin Cash. Now, suppose you haven't converted it into a funny money currency, you just left it in your Bitcoin wallet. Bitcoin Cash is not really Bitcoin anymore. It's a completely different animal. So if you live in the States or pay U.S. taxes anyway, you definitely have some kind of tax consequences when there's a cryptocurrency fork. And what happens, for example, if you turn all your Ethereum or Litecoin into Bitcoin or vice versa? Would the U.S. tax man treat that as if you were trading a stock for another stock? What about long and short-term capital gains? What about gifting your kids Bitcoin? Would that be like gifting your kids some stock? Well, it really does look like the perfect opportunity for the U.S. tax authorities to dump another 5 or 10,000 pages into the U.S. tax law. However, they also are very aware of the fact that this stuff is in the ether and you're on your honor most of the time to report such things. And unless you give them permission, they really have no way of accessing your personal files on your cryptocurrencies. So the problem for them is if they make the taxation rules too tough on cryptocurrency holders, that'll incentivize more and more people to just not report them at all. Because they know with crypto, it's so easy to stay off the grid. So as you can see in the world of cryptocurrency, the next few years are going to be very interesting indeed. Oh, and of course I get questions all the time from people saying, look, Johnny, I want to buy something with my Bitcoin. How do I switch it into cash if I don't have a U.S. bank account? You know, there are at least 10 companies out there who offer Visa Bitcoin debit cards. Yep, they say Visa on them. They don't say Bitcoin. So they're accepted anywhere a Visa card would be accepted. Which means you could go to any ATM and suck out a couple $100 a day. And if you're in a foreign country, you could take out US dollars, euros, or the local funny money in that amount too. Lempiras, pesos, doubloons, whatever. Of course, more and more establishments are accepting Bitcoin directly. But do check out those Visa Bitcoin debit cards. By the way, as of a few weeks ago, 4 Bitcoin Visa debit cards, all originating in Europe, are now refusing to accept US citizens as clients. Figures, huh? Just like offshore and foreign banks don't want U.S. customers either, unless, of course, you're a legal resident. And you know it's all because of those FATCA and GATCA banking laws that the U.S. has forced on practically every country. You know, and if you're a country or bank that doesn't comply, you can't be involved in the international SWIFT wire transfer systems, which, by the way, all go through New York banks. Talk about ironies. That's exactly the system that Bitcoin and all the other cryptos defeat. No SWIFT system or U.S. bank involvement at all, which is why they all hate Bitcoin and crypto. Ain't it a shame? With crypto, there is no middleman taking a chunk of every wire transfer slogging through the system. And you know, wire transfer fees these days are between $30 and $70. And the fees for sending Bitcoin and other cryptos? Way under $1. So bottom line, if you have to change your crypto or Bitcoin into U.S. dollars or whatever, you can do it with a Bitcoin Visa card at an ATM or a bank. Or as you'll find, especially here in Latin America, there are little Bitcoin and crypto kiosks popping up in many big cities. And you can walk in and change your Bitcoin directly into funny money and vice versa. Just goes to show when there's demand, there's always a niche and a way for someone to make money. So it's true, every Latin country has a nice Bitcoin community and they'll tell you where those little kiosks are. In fact, I know of one. Within walking distance of where we'll be the first couple days of the seminar. There you could change crypto for dollars, euros, or the local funny money and vice versa. However, they do take a hefty fee. I believe it's 9%. But people are using it. However, don't let that scare you. When you're the first and the only game in town, you can charge anything you want. But as soon as the competition piles in, and it will, you can look forward to a big drop in those fees. So bottom line, every day, more and more people are getting into the crypto act. How about it? Are you?
South of the border.
This is the Expat Files, living in Latin America. If you want me to help you out with your own Plan B, just schedule a one-on-one consult. Send me an email, theexpatfiles@gmail.com. And if you want to learn how to move forward with your own Plan B from right up there in the States, go to www.expatplanb.com and check out my 3 videos. See ya. Nos vemos.